You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of the Bard.
Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwentz, and today, as we hop aboard the Bible bus, we're going to continue our study of history's most beautiful love poem found in the Old Testament book, the Song of Solomon. But as we're finding out, this love story has a deeper meaning. It pictures the loving relationship between Jesus and you and me when we know Him as our Savior. Our teacher, of course, is Dr. J. Vernon McGee, and he's got a lot of wisdom to share with us today. But before we get started, here's Greg Harris to give us an update on Through the Bible's vision of taking God's whole word to the whole world.
Yeah, and one of the things we want to highlight today, Steve, is something that is happening all the time. When we say numbers like we're distributing Through the Bible in over 250 languages, what we all need to envision is it's not just sort of the old days of like it's a radio broadcast that goes out. Yeah. There's so much more. In fact, a few weeks ago, we read an in-depth response from our Arabic team. Remember that?
Yeah.
And it was
yeah.
from social media, and it was asking a question. And so one of the things we want to highlight today, just for all of our encouragement and also for your prayer support, when you pray for one of these languages, there's a whole ministry that's going on, and we want to talk about something that's very close to our heart. I know every time we bring it up, it moves our hearts, and that's Juba Arabic.
Yeah, and South Sudan. I mean, just to cap it off, you know, the very difficult place, not just to be a Christian. We talk about other parts of the world where it's difficult to be a Christian in a country that's basically functioning.
Yes.
Then you go to South Sudan, and it's difficult to be in a country that is not even functioning. I mean, I've said this before, South Sudan and Haiti are probably the two least civilized countries that are just descending literally into chaos.
Yeah, yeah.
But God, into that situation, God has opened a door for the gospel and for the teaching of God's word systematically to go in. And it wasn't through us, you know, people here in the U.S. It came from our partners in Uganda who saw an opportunity and went through that door.
Yeah, and we love to rehearse the history because it teaches us about the future. When we see how God has done things, it all started with one of our board members, Ed Anderson, saying, Greg, I've met these guys from Uganda. They love Through the Bible. Will you have lunch with them? And I said, sure. And that grew into, let's start a Luganda broadcast. And we never aspired to anything more.
Yeah.
And then they said, let's go to Western Uganda with Run Yakatara.
Yep.
And then they said, hey, we'd like to go to the neighboring country of Sudan. Well, the rest of the history is this. We tried through other partners to get into Juba Arabic for years, and we never were able to do it.
Yeah.
And so God opened that door. And now what's happening is a very in-depth ministry.
Yeah, and I love these guys give us the best
reports
and the best testimonials, and they include pictures. And it's just wonderful to see these brothers again. I look at Joel, who was originally... He was the station manager, but he wasn't. He's just he looks like a kid to me. He's under, I'm an old guy now, almost 60, but this guy's under 30, and he starts hearing the teaching of Through the Bible in Juba Arabic, and he's now associated with the program.
Yeah.
He's in all these pictures.
Yes, yes.
And he's involved in the ministry in such a great way, and it is such an encouragement to see fellow Christians get excited about Through the Bible and become a part of the mission of reaching the whole world with the whole word.
Yeah, and the other element that's of real interesting note, you know, we tend to talk about our ministry, it's a media ministry, but our partners are often doing all kinds of things which are closely associated with our ministry. And what the report we have in front of us is when one of the pastors from Uganda did an evangelistic crusade in South Sudan, and see all these things in front of us, they did door to door. They sent people knocking on doors, handing out flyers. What else did they do?
They did talk shows led by Pastor David, who is the voice of McGee
in Luganda.
In Uganda. Yep. And then he did it in South Sudan. Also, very successful that we've seen ourselves in Uganda now being replicated in South Sudan, and that are these pastor breakfasts.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think both of us, that was one of the highlights.
Yes.
Seeing about 50 pastors, and then they said, hey, who wants to talk about how this Luganda program has made a difference, and they're like telling them only those of you that drove from over like 100 kilometers can stand up, and then don't make your testimony too long.
Yeah, and this line is like 8-9 guys deep.
I actually have a picture of that. It's one of my favorite pictures of our time in Uganda. So they've also had a conference where they're connecting listeners. Then they had a crusade evangelizing. A lot of the people are from a Muslim background in that part of the world or a nominal Christian background. So just lots and lots, as you said, pictures, interactions, and the picture we want to paint is that as you pray for a ministry like Juba Arabic, there is so much more going on under the surface. And just pray for all of these people and the different outreaches.
Absolutely. Greg, we're out of time. Why don't you go ahead and pray for us as we begin our program?
It would be my honor. Father, we thank you. Just that the depth of the way that your word is reaching people is almost more than we can take in with our minds and imaginations. And we thank you for the way you are doing these things, that you are raising up people, and those people are ministering on the ground, door to door, face to face, and then they are connecting the teaching of through the Bible into the lives of these people. So we just rejoice in that, Lord, and we pray that you would continue to use through the Bible as a powerful part of your great plan of salvation around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's open now to Song of Solomon as we make our way through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, we've come today to verse 16 of chapter 2 in the Song of Solomon, and we'll gather momentum, as you can well see. Here we have this very wonderful, wonderful statement, verse 16, and we mustn't run away from it. It says, "My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies." Now, this follows close after this section where we called attention to the fact that it speaks of the rapture of Christ for the church. That is an interpretation and an application we can make to our own hearts and lives. And this is a song. It's a folk song. It's poetry, lovely poetry. And in the highest spiritual state, it speaks of the relationship of the Lord Jesus to the believer. Now, you don't reach a higher plane anywhere in the Bible than right here. "My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies." Now, this is what he meant when he probably gave the most profound theological statement, and it's very simple, seven simple words, "I in you and ye in me." That's what he's talking about. "My beloved is mine." It's what the bride says. "And I am his." The Lord Jesus said, "Down here, I took your place. I'm in you. I took your place when I died on the cross. And now, down here, you are to show forth the life of Christ down here. And you can only do it, of course, through the power of the Holy Spirit. But we are in him up there, seated in the heavens, accepted in the beloved, joined to him, risen with Christ. And if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is at the right hand of God." This is a very wonderful statement. And like a lady said, she tells him now every morning she loves him. Why don't you begin that? You're a child of God. "My beloved is mine, I'm his." And that means everything that Christ is has been made over to us. You and I live in a day when we may not have very much of this world's goods, but we're rich. And this is the thing that we find, that his marvelous, wonderful, infinite grace, it makes us rich. Now, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, at verse 21, he says, "Therefore let no man glory in man." Don't glory in Paul or Paulus or Cephas. Don't glory in men today, individuals. Today, the important thing, all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God. You see, we belong to Christ, and he's ours today. He belongs to us. He belongs to me. He's my Savior today. The Lord is my shepherd. we ought to draw very close to him and appropriate some of these glorious, wonderful spiritual blessings that are ours. And it's a high level of spiritual life when you and I get to the place and can say, my beloved is mine, and I am his, and he feedeth among the lilies. Now, what a beautiful picture that is. It speaks of a beautiful place. He feedeth among the lilies. Flower strewn couch that he sits or reclines at his table. It speaks of satisfaction, speaks of fellowship, speaks of joy. It speaks of everything is so wonderful that the world's after down here. The world's after a good time. The world wants to live it up. Well, let's have a good time and live it up and sit at Christ's table and rejoice in him. He's mine. He belongs to me, and I belong to him. This is a high level. I'm afraid that many of us cannot attain unto it, and therefore we have to cry out as the bride did here, draw me, draw me. That's the only way I'm going to make it, because we'll run after you, but we can't run. We can't run the race that sets before us until we not only see Jesus, but that we have his power in our lives. Now, this is until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart from the mountains of Bethar. Now, you remember we saw him that bright morning back here. There he's standing on the mountain peak. He's triumphed because all during the night, the hunters and the dogs, they were leaping at him, biting, and how fierce, how terrible, they were seeking his life. But he triumphed over it all. He went down through the door of death, but he came up through the door of resurrection. And now, in light of that, we are living in a dark night. And so until the daybreak, let the redemption that we have in Christ, let all that he's done for us, let it become meaningful to you. And feast on that. Rest upon that. Let that be the comfort for the dark night. Let that be the pillow for your head when you're restless. How tremendous this is. Now we come to chapter 3, but we're still in this second song, and I would say it's the second stanza, too, that we come to. And the reason I said that, I thought probably this experience that we had of him coming to her, the voice of my beloved, could have been a dream, because as we continue on, we read this, by night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets, and in the broadways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Now, the very interesting thing here is that we actually have come to another section and another scene altogether that we've had before. You remember that it's in two sections. First, up in the hill country of Ephraim. And here is a family. They are a family that they're tenant farmers. We used to call them croppers down in Georgia. And they're sharecroppers. And they were the ones that tended this vineyard and had sheep. And one day a shepherd appeared, and this Shulamite girl, one of the girls in the family, she had to take care of the sheep and the vineyard. She worked so hard she didn't take care of herself, but she had a natural beauty. And this shepherd fell in love with her, and she fell in love with him. And then he said he's going away, but coming back, and he didn't come back for a long time. One day it is announced King Solomon was coming along, and she paid no attention, because who was King Solomon? As far as she is concerned, she didn't know him. But then somebody came to her and said King Solomon wanted to see her. And when she was brought into his presence, it was her shepherd. It was the one that had said he would come, and he now has come. Now he takes her away to his palace in Jerusalem. And the scene is there. And this scene is there. And now King Solomon is busy. He's king. He's out probably on king's business in the land. And as he visits around, why, she's left alone there. And finally, why, knowing he was out, why, she got up and went out looking for him. It's quite interesting today, the church, I'm of the opinion, for the most part, and I don't mean just the organized church, I mean believers as a whole, are largely reclining today and doing nothing, practically nothing, to getting the Word of God out. And my friend, he's out today sowing the seed of the Word of God. He's out today trying to get the Word out and wake up a sleepy church. And so this one, she gets up and starts looking for him. And the message that I see here is a great message. If you're going to have fellowship with Christ, it's wonderful to sit with Mary at Jesus' feet. But if you're going to stay around those feet, you're going to find they're going to do a lot of walking. And you'll find that you may be busy in the kitchen with Martha or with the pots and the pans. Or you may find yourself busy out yonder on the hillside looking for a sheep. And I heard recently of a church that just in a very dogmatic and cold way put a member out because a rumor was circulating that he had been dishonest. Well, I think they certainly should have investigated. And I made the inquiry. I said, did somebody go and try to get the lost sheep and bring him back? They said, of course not. He's dishonest. Well, my friend, that's the sheep we need to get back in the fold. I'm afraid that the attitude today in many of our fundamental churches, we're in bed. We're not going to get our feet dirty. And we're going to find out that was the condition of this bride just a little later on. She came to the place. Imagine this girl raised out yonder in the country, kept sheep, took care of a vineyard. Now she's going to loll in bed all morning. May I say to you, I'm afraid the church is in that position today. My friend, let's get out of bed and let's get to work today. Let's get the word out. And if you're going to have fellowship with him, you can't spend all the time sitting at his feet. There is a time when somebody's going to have to fix a meal back there with Martha in the kitchen. And therefore, I think this is a tremendous thing. Now she went out through the city looking for him. She's lost contact, you see, because of this attitude. And now we read the watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? And now she's out giving a witness. And that's what she should be doing. It was but a little that I passed from him, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I'd brought him into my mother's house and to the chamber of her that conceived me. In other words, she went right back to the place where she had been born. And many of us need to get back to that first love. You remember when we first were converted and first came to Christ and how much he meant to us. Now she says, I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till ye please. And in other words, she now has come to a place where she's witness, and now there is restored that wonderful fellowship with him. But will you notice, we come now actually to the third canticle. This is the third song. And it begins at verse 6. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? And this is a picture, of course, of Solomon as he rode in state throughout his kingdom. And the glory that was Solomon was really something. We're going to get a little description of it here in just a moment. And what we have here is a picture, I think, ought to be of the church today as we are to go through this world as witnesses. And as witnesses, we are also a new man in Christ. We're also an engaged person on the way to meet a bridegroom. And we also are good soldiers of Jesus Christ and we should move like this through the world. There should be that perfumed with myrrh and frankincense. How wonderful the Lord Jesus is. The myrrh speaks of his death. The frankincense speaks of his life. And both were sweet indeed. Both were glorious. We're going to call attention to that again, I think probably next time. It says, behold his bed, which is Solomon's. Now this is the couch that he sat upon at mealtime, at that round table where those were gathered around him that were his intimates, where the bride sat with him or reclined with him. But notice, they are living in days of danger. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. Why are they there? They're there for protection. They're the palace guard. They are the secret service that have charge of his person to watch over him. And may I say to you today, I think that the time has come for us to say that we believe today in the deity of Jesus Christ, that he was God manifest in the flesh, and that we reject the teaching of Jesus Christ Superstar. We reject the teaching of liberalism. We reject anything that make him just a human Jesus. He's God manifest in the flesh. That's the picture that we have of him. And they all hold swords, and the sword is the word of God, remember, being expert in war. And we ought to know how to use the word of God. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. We need the word of God. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And that's what good soldiers of Jesus Christ have. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. Now look at this. Out of the cedars of Lebanon, he made the pillars thereof silver, the bottom thereof of gold. Imagine the floor made of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. What beauty there was, but also what tremendous emotion and love that you have displayed here. Therefore, go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. Now it says his mother crowned him. Well, you want to read the story? David didn't want to crown him. Fact of the matter is, there was another son of David that was carrying on a better strategy to try to get to the throne himself. He wanted to run for king and become king. And David wasn't doing anything about it. And the reason, his favorite son, Absalom, had been killed. And he didn't seem to have too much heart for Solomon. And so Nathan came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, said, we better get busy because this other boy may become king. And so she went with Nathan to King David. And then King David said, well, bring him in. We'll make him king. And that's when this boy, Solomon, was made king. And I like the way that it's stated here. His mother crowned him. It was his mother that was interested in him, and it was his mother. And not actually David, though he is David's son here. Now, it says, behold King Solomon. Well, this is a picture of Christ. Behold him. Behold him in his birth. Behold him in his life. Behold him in his death. Behold him in his resurrection. Behold him in his glory, and behold him as the one who's coming. My friend, the solution to the problems of life are found in Jesus Christ. Now, I don't like the expression, Jesus is the answer, or Christ is the answer. I want to know what the question is. And you tell me what the question is, and then the Lord Jesus will furnish you the answer. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
You know, Dr. McGee is right. The solution to the problems in our lives can only be found in Jesus Christ. Learn more about God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ and begin living your faith with Him and for Him over at ttb.org when you search for How Can I Know God? Or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. You can also write to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. Or for our friends in Canada, it's Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Well, that's all for today. Be sure to join me next time for another study in the Song of Solomon here on Through the Bible.
Jesus,
we're grateful for our committed listening family who faithfully pray and invest in Through the Bible as we together take the whole Word to the whole world.
You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Of New Life Assembly of God in Melbourne, Florida. I'm praying for all our faith partners and radio listeners to be blessed by the broadcast today. Our church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. The church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our church service is every Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. sharp. Now, here is Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord out there once again. Glory to his wonderful name. Are you ready? The King is coming. He's coming soon. Praise God. Are you ready to meet your God? He is the only one that's coming back. Praise God. And we thank him for it. And I tell you, we all must be ready. If you're caught up in any kind of situations or circumstances that will not be favorable toward the appearing of the great and mighty God, who is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I want to tell you the time is right now. You don't have to be in the church building. You can repent right now and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of all your sins. Praise God, praise God. And he is a forgiving God. He loves you, and he will forgive you. I want to pray for you right now. Glory to God. And thank the Lord for the broadcast. This is a platform that's entitled Praise God and directed totally toward those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And even those that know him, the Bible says, as for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Father, we thank you this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We look to you, our soon coming King, the one that's coming back for us all. We ask that your blessings will be upon those that have tuned into the broadcast, that they will hear the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and receive it in their hearts, and not only be just hearers of your word, but doers as well. So we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Well, bless the Lord. Praise God. We thank the Lord for every opportunity that is given to us as children of God, and the opportunity that we're able to pray for those out there in Radio Land, and even ourselves, we need each other. The Bible says that iron sharpens iron. And I want to tell you, as a child of God, we pray for one another that they be healed, delivered, set free, whatever the problems may be. Praise God. Well, we want to look at the Word of God today in the third chapter of the book of Romans, and we want to see what the Word of God is saying to us all as children of God. In Romans 1, it was the Gentiles Paul spoke to. In Romans 2, it was the Jews. And in Romans 3, he said, well, all have sinned. Isn't that wonderful? All have sinned. And God is no respecter of persons. So what happens is that he says, for all have sinned. So we want to look at Romans 3, and matter of fact, we want to look at the 23rd verse there of the third chapter of the book of Romans, and we want to kind of see what God is saying through Apostle Paul. Praise God. The Pauline's epistles are awesome. Praise God. And I tell you, when we look at them, we can see that the apostle of grace is blessing us, allowing us to, through his word, other words, not he's not blessing, but blessing us through the words that the Lord Jesus Christ has given him. So he said there in Romans 3 and verse 23, he says, for all. That means Jew and Gentile. There's no one that are exempt from what Apostle Paul is saying. He says, for all have sinned. Isn't that something? Everybody. Praise God, I tell you, everybody have sinned. After the fall of our father and mother in the earlier part of the Bible there, which is Adam and Eve, she's the mother of all living. Adam, he sinned, she sinned, and therefore sin was running rampant. And I tell you, the whole idea is that leapfrogging to Romans 3:23, we look at what the Word of God is saying, for all have sinned. And we are now living in a fallen world. Everybody's sinned. And God wants every man, everywhere to be saved. He wants everyone to repent and to give their hearts to Him. But we know that everyone is not going to do that. But because of the free will of mankind, you have a choice if you want to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's amazing, Minister Glory. You know, if we really look at this free will, freedom of choice, you know, even the angels in heaven had free will. Isn't that something? God, free will. They made a choice to follow Satan.
Yes.
One third of the angels made a choice.
Yes.
They had free will, so they made a choice to follow Satan. Well, he wasn't Satan at that time. He was Lucifer. So they followed him. God gives us free will.
That's right. Choices.
And as you minister Sunday, in terms of, we have a choice.
That's right. Stay in your circumstance or receive the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God. If many people today want to stay in their circumstances, that's their choice. And God still loves them. Mm-hmm. He loves them until the day of reckoning. And we know that when that day comes, if you don't know Him, He will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Those are some words that none of us want to hear when we stand before the Master. So Apostle Paul is telling us, giving us an understanding. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in realizing here that all have sinned, then that means, Minister Gloria, that all needs a Savior.
Amen.
And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior.
Yes, He is.
He's the only one that can save you. Mm-hmm. And many people feel, well, I don't use profanity. I don't drink, I don't curse, I don't kill, I don't do any of those things. And they remain in a self-righteous state. But that's not going to get them. Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the way.
You may try and say because of self-righteousness, you don't do these things that you feel that is not right, but our righteousness is not of what we do. You know, in the Bible tells us that our righteousness is only as filthy rags in the eyes of God. This is why we need the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, Paul says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means everybody. Mm-hmm. So that means that you need Jesus.
Amen.
I need the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone else that have tuned into this broadcast.
Amen.
So what we do through the choice of the free will that we have is that we make a choice. If I know that all have sinned, and if I know that I am part of the all, which is a sinner, then I make a choice.
Glory to God.
Jesus would be my choice. Come into my life. Take full control of it, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And do something with it.
Amen.
And I ask to come into my heart and do what you want to do. I'm yours.
Because he has a purpose for everyone. But the only thing is, his purpose is that you receive him. Amen. Not everyone is going to receive him, but it's open. The gift is open to anyone who would like to receive the Lord Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man, no woman, no child can come to Jesus except by can't come to God except by Jesus.
Well, the scriptures are clear, and the gospel must be preached. And we must tell people, no matter who you are, where you are, what status you have in society, what status you have in the ecclesiastical bodies, what status you may have in your employment, whatever it may be. Apostle Paul says, through the revelation that the Lord Jesus Christ had given him, that all sin. And when we look at that, we all are sinners and we need a Savior. My choice is that I choose Jesus. Well, through understanding that I'm a sinner, I know the Word of God says, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. But the point is, I put myself in the position where I make that choice, Jesus. Because all the things that goes on in one's life, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can remedy the situation. He is the answer.
He's the answer.
And when we understand that he's the answer, we ask him to come into our lives, change our lives. Praise God. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death.
Amen.
And I want to tell you today, you don't have to die twice. You don't have to die twice. And many people say, well, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about a physical death and then a spiritual death. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
You know what the Word of God says? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. All his promises are yes and amen in him, as some men count slackness. But he is so long-suffering. Isn't that amazing? We may not be long-suffering, but he is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
You see, Minister Gloria, folks that listen to the broadcast, they and other broadcasters, they and have not given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, they hold their salvation in their own hands. And they can't save themselves, you see. Otherwise, they say, well, I don't do things that are contrary to what the Word of God is saying. But yet, I have not asked the Lord Jesus to come into my heart. The most important thing is that once you've considered your position, and you know that you cannot save yourself if you understand what Apostle Paul is saying. You must receive Jesus. He is the one that will change your life. So they say, well, because I don't do those things, but Minister Gloria, self-righteousness mm-hmm. is not going to get it.
No.
The self-righteous man is lost. Everyone that tries to say, well, because I don't do those things, and I may be living a moral life, but that's still not going to get you in the place that God wants you to be. So the self-righteous man is lost.
Yes.
He needs the Savior, mm-hmm. our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Even a religious person.
The religious man is lost.
Amen.
Amen. Many people say, well, I go to church and I do things that I feel that the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And many people sit inside the churches and they are not saved.
Right. But thank God for his grace. Isn't that beautiful, Pastor? For by grace you are saved through what? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God.
Well, we thank God for grace. And Apostle Paul is giving us an understanding because he is the apostle of grace. And he's giving us an understanding that, well, all the good things that we do, we still need Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because the good things are only dead works if you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. And in Romans 6 and 23 says, for all have sinned. I mean, the wages of sin mm-hmm. is death. Mm-hmm. I said the wages of sin is death. And it's no use me sitting behind this microphone to tell you what you want to hear. But I want to tell you what you need to hear.
Amen.
And you need to hear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So therefore, all needs a Savior.
All need a Savior.
Amen. And his name is Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And he's the only way.
Only.
But you have free choice. You can say, well, I don't want to receive Jesus. God's not going to force your hand. He's not going to make you do anything. You have that choice. But I want to tell you today, from the bottom of my heart, that if the Lord Jesus Christ return, praise God, or appear, and you have not received him as Lord and Savior of your life, then you will be in a terrible position. You will be caught up to be in this world where things are going to be terrible. And when I say caught up, I'm speaking in terms of the Great Tribulation.
Oh my.
The Great Tribulation. You have an opportunity now to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Praise God. Because all have sinned, all needs a Savior. And the opportunity is the gift that's been given to us all from God Almighty. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
He is the Savior of the world. Praise God. Praise God. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that wonderful
yes.
that he gave his only begotten son? And Minister Gloria, when Paul was speaking in to the Romans, the Church of Rome, he said all have sinned mm-hmm. and come short of the glory of God.
Right.
You don't have to live in sin. You can live according to a child of God.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. By faith, though, Pastor. You're a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
So he said, the wages of sin is death.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to die twice.
No.
We're all going to die physically, but we have spiritually eternal life.
Praise God.
So he says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift, Jesus Christ is the gift. And this is why the exaltation, everything is owed to our Lord Jesus Christ, the one that
done it all.
Has done it all.
Cross the cow.
The one that will save us.
Amen.
From our sins. I remember reading there in John 1 and verse 29. I think it's somewhere around in St. John 1 and verse 29.
Mm-hmm.
Where John the Baptist was baptized. And he looked up and he saw Jesus coming down that dusty road there, right?
Mm-hmm. Behold, the Lamb of God. Which take away the sin of the world.
Behold, the Lamb of God. He is the one that will take away the sin of the world. Not cover the sins, but take away the sin of the world. And I tell you, it's so important there that when we look at that verse of Scripture, it gives us an understanding that under the old covenant, what happened is that their sins were covered. They had whatever problem they had, sin that they committed, they brought forth a turtle dove, depending on the gravity of the sin, and they brought it to the priest, and the priest, you know, did what he had to do, and then they took the blood, and he went into the holies of holies, but it was only for 1 year.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's only for a year, but I mean now, what happened? He covered the sin, but we're talking about this great high priest. The one that has passed on into the heavens.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. He is the one. And that's who we focus on. And everyone out there in Radio Land today, I pray that you will hear what the Word of God is saying. We're moving line upon line and precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. But you will get the picture that Jesus is the focus of everything that we're talking about. Because he is the gift that God gave to humanity, praise God, to save us all.
Yes.
And you have an opportunity, you have a choice, if you want to receive him, or you want to continue life as it's going. But there's a day that you will stand before the Master.
That's right.
And you will tell him all about the story. Not that he doesn't know, he knows everything. But you'll have to tell him. And he's willing to listen to what you say and give the final word. Now, the whole idea of Mr. Glory is that God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Now, that's something. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not die.
Right.
You will not perish.
Mm-hmm.
How many people, when they read that verse of Scripture, they have the understanding that, well, someday you're going to leave here. You're going to leave this natural body.
Yes.
But you don't want to die spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Not spiritual death, but physically. We know that we all are going to die.
Right.
Because Apostle Paul gave us, again, illustrations there in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, he says that when this old tabernacle is dissolved, that we have a building. And he's talking to church folks there, praise God. And everyone else, I strongly believe that, you know, he's speaking to the church. He never addressed anything to the sinners, but he preached to the church. But the point is that we also can look at that if you hear it. As Jesus said, he that has an ear, let him hear. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches, praise God. And I want to say today, if you have ears, which I know you have ears out there, if you listen to the radio broadcast, that you're able to hear what the scriptures are saying.
Amen.
Praise God. So it is important here that we understand that Jesus, and only Jesus, and we know that he is the one that has given us eternal life if we believe in him. You know, I heard something the other day there where it was talking about when you take your last breath. Now, the scripture tells us in Hebrews 9 and verse 27 minutes ago, I want you to read that quickly before we, you know, it's so hard to try and give what we're talking about in within 28 minutes.
I know.
Hebrews 9 and verse 27.
It says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this is the judgment.
See, when you take that last breath here, then there's a place that you will either go be with the Lord or be in the other place. I don't want to talk about it this time. The most important thing here is that we have a place, as Paul said, that it's called to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
Well, I see that because of what we're doing, time has slipped away here. The minister, girl, you want to just...
Praise the Lord. Open up your hearts, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
My word is, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. God bless you out there. Until the next broadcast, is my prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach.
Brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.